How about now? Better? Welcome to worship this morning. In Psalm 22, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord, and I'm glad to be here to worship with you today. As many of you know, it's the Synod Convention this weekend, so Pastor Bishop Hormey has recorded a sermon for us, and that's what we're working on here this morning. Let's begin our worship with our gathering song. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ that we have through his forgiveness with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, throughout time you free the oppressed, heal the sick, and make whole all that you have made. Look with compassion on the world, wounded by sin, and by your prayer, restore us into wholeness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading today is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm today is Psalm 81. Verses 1 through 10, and read it responsively. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to the God of Jacob.
Raise a song in Solomon's chamber, the merry heart and the lyre.
Blow the ram's horn at the new moon, and at the full moon, in the day of our feast.
For this is the statute for Israel, a law.
God laid it as a solemn charge upon Joseph, going out over the land of Egypt, when I heard a voice I did not know.
I used your shoulder for thunder, your hands were set free from the basket.
You called on me in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you with the secret place of thunder and tested you at the waters of Meribah. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not worship a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
And the second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this is extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. We will live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, beginning verse 23.
Glory to you, Lord.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We have a presentation prepared for us from Bishop Hormy today, and you saw Josie and our staff here working diligently on technical difficulties. So I believe it's maybe not video, maybe just audio. Correct?
Okay. Hello, I'm Pastor Rick Hyme, the Bishop of the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, and first of all, thank you for sharing your pastor with the greater church, with the Synod, and the leaders of your congregation as they gather an assembly at the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire to guide our synod, but also to elect a new bishop. So thank you for that, and thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning in this way. And many other congregations are getting a typed out written thing like this, but I think this is a little better. So thank you. A few weeks ago, I got to go to Iowa to spend some time with my grandchildren. Evie is 8, and Devin is 4. And I had a few days where I could go down and be with them, and I hadn't seen them since Christmas. So my wife said, "You need to go." And what was unique about this trip was I went by myself. And I realized that I'd never spent time with my grandchildren with just me. And it was different. It wasn't better, but it was different. But one of the things that was really different was when it came time for bed, one of Grandma's jobs when we are there is she goes to bed with Evie and reads. It reads a book or two, and it used to be she had to read the whole thing, and then eventually Evie was reading to her. But this time it was Grandpa. You going to come read with me? And I did. And I brought for her a book that two women in our synod both wrote and illustrated about the people in our companion synod in Malawi. And Evie, our granddaughter, has learned about Malawi through us, and she knows that Grandma Grandpa went there a year ago, and she's grown up with little carved animals, elephants and hippopotamuses that she knows came from Malawi. And she, since she was little, has played with money that was from Malawi. And we've showed her pictures. But I was able to lie in that little twin bed of hers with her and to one night read the first half of the book and the next night read the second half of the book. But more importantly, to be able to stop reading and tell her stories about what the people of Malawi have meant to Grandpa and how I've learned from them and how they have allowed my faith to be greater than it ever would by itself. And I was able to talk to Evie about Grandpa's faith and how Grandpa believes and how important that is to me and how I said, Evie, I hope someday you can go to Malawi and you can learn from those people about Jesus like I have. And off went the lights. Well, I was driving home by myself that long 5-hour drive on I-35. And I was thinking back to my grandma and grandpa. My grandma and grandpa Nelson, my mom's mom and dad. Realizing that we never had those moments. Now, first of all, they had 27 grandchildren. But also, they never talked to me about Jesus or their faith. I can't even tell you whether my grandpa went to church. I think he did. I know Grandma did because she had the circle come to her house and ladies' aid. But they never talked to me about what they believed and why they believed and why it made a difference in their life. And I wish they had. At our Synod Assembly, the theme of our Synod Assembly this year is called Growing Young. And it's built around this book, Growing Young. 6 essential strategies to help young people discover and love your church. And this is a good book. Based on research done in churches all over the country, some of those churches are just like yours. They could be big, they could be very small, they could be in a city, they could be very rural. But the thing they have in common is they have strategies that are helping their churches grow young, to reach out to the Evies, but especially to reach out to kids between the ages of 15 and 29. And what we're doing at the Synod Assembly this year, so ask your pastor, ask your deacon, ask your leaders when they come back, what did you learn? Because we're having 4 TED Talks. These are short 4 to 5 minute talks done by churches from around our synod, in larger towns, in little tiny towns, in the North Woods, churches that are big, churches that are very small. But the thing they all have in common is these are churches that are growing younger. And they're going to share their story about what they've learned and to teach this to the other churches and the other leaders so they can take that back to help their churches grow young. In this book, they quote a man named Max Dupree, and he says this, "The first job of a leader is to define reality. The first job of a leader is to define reality." Here's the reality. In the churches across the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, all across this country, we're not unique. 2 things. Church attendance is declining and congregations are aging. They're getting older. That's the reality. Now, how does that work when Jesus says, and you may have heard this in the readings today, where Jesus says about, let the little children come unto me. Or the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, which I think if he said it today would not be about all nations especially, but he would go make disciples of all ages. And the reality is, church attendance is declining, and congregations are aging. But that contradicts what Jesus tells us to do and to be. We have to ask ourselves tough questions. What did they find, the authors of Growing Young, as they went out and interviewed and studied churches all across this country? Here's the thing. As they engaged 15 to 29-year-olds, they found that every one of these churches was growing spiritually, growing emotionally, growing missionally, and sometimes numerically. Not always numerically, but sometimes. And it's important that that's last, because you do not grow young to get bigger. You grow young because it will change your church. It will change the people in your church. And they found that the young people in these churches had things that were in common. First of all, they felt like they were known in that church. And they didn't find that in many churches, even small churches. But the young people felt like people knew who they were and knew about them. And the young people, 15 to 29, and ask yourself, how many people are this morning, look around you, from the ages of 21 to 29 are in your church this morning? They felt like they were loved. How hard is that? To learn to know young people and to love them. These churches were innovative. They had core commitments. The church I had served before I was elected bishop was Central Lutheran Chippewa Falls. And one of the three basic core commitments of that church, and it continues to this day, is we take care of our kids. And the side to that is, and their parents. We need to do that as a church, and it has to be at the very core of who we are. When I was elected bishop 5 years ago at the Synod Assembly, I remember speaking to the assembly before I was called, before I was elected to this office. And they said, you know, this room is filled with parents and pastors who feel like failures. Because many of us raised our kids the way we were raised. My two daughters, they went to Sunday school every Sunday. They went to Bible school. They went to Bible camp. They went on youth trips in high school. They went to national youth gatherings. And it didn't work very well. Now, Lois, Abby's mom, she goes to church. But frankly, I didn't know if that was going to happen. The younger one, other daughter, says, well, she's not opposed to it. It just hasn't happened yet. She's 32 years old. But I have hope. But what I know is how we were raised. With grandmas and grandpas, who for many of us never talked about Jesus. Because that was the church's job. It doesn't work anymore. Our culture has changed. Our world has changed. And we as the church need to change who we are and how we equip one another. We need to resolve to grow young. You in your church need to resolve that we will grow young. And we won't stop until we figure out how to do it. And growing young takes everyone. Everyone, always. There's no halfway to this. Everyone has to buy into this. And you have to buy into it every day. Because what does it do? We know that churches that grow young are more vital, they have more energy, they do more service, they have more passion, they're more innovative, there's more money. Now, interesting, the money doesn't come from the young people and their parents. But it comes from people who are my age, 64, 65, 75, 85, 95, who see what their church is doing and they give more. Remember? because they are into it always. Pastor Erwin McManus says this: healthy churches reach young people, and young people make churches healthier. Healthy churches reach young people, and young people make churches healthier. So this is my challenge for you, as a bishop who in 4 weeks will no longer be your bishop, is to ask you to resolve to grow young, to do what needs to be done to reach people like my Evie. Because there's Evies in every church, in every town, in every community, in every family. And they're too precious. They're loved too much to not share with them this Jesus who has made a difference in your life and the church that's made a difference in your life. Call your grandbabies. Talk to your babies. And do what I did. Share the story so you might grow young and your church. Amen.
Please rise. Let us share our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the Church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. God, our strength, you command your people to keep Sabbath. Coax your Church away from the busyness of the world and give us holy rest, so that, refreshed, we will give vibrant witness to your world-healing love. Hear us, O God. God, our strength, You restore what is withered. As all creation stretches forth in hunger and thirst for you, revive what has ceased to flourish and repair what has fallen into decay. Make us partners in your holy healing. Hear us, O God. God, our strength, we ache for peace. Teach nations that you carry our burdens, you free our human hands, and you rescue us in distress. Raise up leaders in the world who listen to your voice and walk in your ways. Hear us, O God. God, our strength, people are afflicted and perplexed, persecuted and struck down. Shine the light of your glory into the hearts of your suffering ones, especially Robert, Maxine, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon and Carolyn, Dick, Maxine, Ray, Sean, Steve and Lori, Lavone, Libby, Sam, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Pastor Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes, so that they will not be crushed, driven to despair, or forsaken. Hear us, O God. God, our strength, you grieve our hardness of heart whenever we turn your holy counsel into rules to control others. Open our hearts to your loving will for these times, for our neighbors, and for this community of faith. Hear us, O God. God, our strength, death is at work in us, but life is in you. Free us now to live into your promise of indestructible life, and in the end, restore us with all the saints. Hear us, O God. By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks to God with our offering. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymns. When we last gathered for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard the story of God's mighty acts and of the love shown us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. With thanksgiving, we remembered that in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all the people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We were given assurance of our Lord's presence through the gift of his Holy Spirit. Now we partake of this same bread of life and this same cup of blessing, that we may be strengthened through our participation in the body of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Those assisting can come forward. We'll be using foreign chalices today, so please pick up a glass as you come forward. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive this blessing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our sending song? I'd like to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. I did notice that we have a pie and ice cream social this week on Thursday over at the American Lutheran Home, sponsored by the Auxiliary. Sounds like that would be scrumptious to attend that. Are there any other announcements at this time?
Blood drive on Thursday, and sign up for health and goodies.
Blood drive on Thursday. We can use help, and we can use snacks, right? Anything else? Okay. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.